This is the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today is Kent Backus. Kent is with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, and we'll talk about a couple of different issues coming up in just a moment. First off, let's talk sustainable aviation fuel, SAF. Roger McCohen with Washburn University.
This actually dates back a couple of years. The USDA's Climate Smart Agriculture Program is what establishes practices for cultivating corn and soybeans for use as sustainable aviation feedstocks. And it's tied into the tax code. There's a clean fuel tax credit that's available for those that sell or use SAF, that's sustainable aviation fuel. And farmers are being incentivized to adopt sustainable farming practices to grow crops that are going to be used to produce the fuel. And it's a credit that applies for each gallon of SAF that is produced. And the whole idea of all of this is to reduce greenhouse gas emissions.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Kent Backus. Kent is Executive Director, Government Affairs, National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Kent, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Tony. It's good to talk with you.
A couple of things we want to talk about today, but the first one is something that has a deadline of, I guess, the end of the year or the first of next year, and that's something known as the Corporate Transparency Act. And this is something you might think, well, that doesn't apply to me. I'm small, but you might want to check again. This affects a lot of people, doesn't
it? That's exactly right. The Corporate Transparency Act is a law that is that's set to go into full enforcement on January 1st, 2025. And what this does is it requires certain businesses with 20 or fewer employees to report to the Secretary of State that this would be a requirement to disclose beneficial ownership information to the U.S. Treasury Department's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, also known as FinCEN. And failure to comply, failure to disclose that information, that can result in fines of $500 per day and up to 2 years in prison. So this is something that was designed to go after money laundering, and it was really designed to go after Russian oligarchs and the Chinese Communist Party. Unfortunately, it's catching about 33 million American businesses in the crosshair. So this is something that NCBA has been trying to get. We've been trying to, you know, get this alert out to the countryside for the better part of a year. And, you know, we're getting really close to this deadline. And, you know, we're very concerned that, you know, once this thing actually goes live, you're going to have a lot of businesses that could be in trouble. So we've been working with Congress to try to get a delay. And, you know, I think we're going to try to work with the incoming administration to see what we can do to resolve this. But the Treasury Department is not backing away from it right now. Secretary Yellen, she's committed to moving forward with this. But there's been a development in this during the last week where the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Texas granted a nationwide preliminary injunction to halt the enforcement of the Corporate Transparency Act. So that means that it essentially would just hit pause until they could find out if this law is actually constitutional. So it's a preliminary injunction. The big question is, you know, will that actually hold? Because you have conflicting district court decisions around the country. In Oregon and in Virginia, you had two federal district courts that denied the petition for a preliminary injunction. And at the same time, you also have a case that is pending in the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals that would apply to just a certain number of plaintiffs. So there's a lot of legal uncertainty in this, and it looks like the government has already appealed this decision to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. So there's still a lot of uncertainty of whether this injunction will hold. So that's why we're encouraging people to continue to talk to your attorney, talk to your tax professionals, find out what is the best option for your business, because with all this uncertainty, you want to make sure you have all your ducks in a row. hopefully we can get some action on this, maybe not by the end of this year, but I mean, hopefully we can see something move forward, because unfortunately there's going to be a lot of small businesses who've done nothing wrong that are going to get caught up in the middle of this.
You need to check with your own counsel here. Again, you may be thinking, hey, I just won't file it. I think we'll be okay, but you kind of run a risk there.
Yeah, it's a tremendous gamble. And unfortunately, I mean, the government is putting your back against the wall. But if you're a small business with 20 or fewer employees, and if you file a business plan with the Secretary of State, then there's a pretty good chance that this could apply to you. But you need to take the initiative and talk to your tax preparer, talk to your attorney, find out what the best course of action is for you so that you don't get caught up in the middle of this. Again, this is government policy that definitely needs a course correct, but we're uncertain of what actually is going to happen in the legal process. And so what it really comes down to is we're going to need Congress to make a long-term, you know, permanent decision on this and take action. But it's unlikely that, you know, we may see anything by the end of this year. So I would say talk to your attorney and get a plan together so that you can navigate these stormy waters.
There's something else that's kind of broken as well. This one comes out on Friday. U.S. Senate has passed the Federal Disaster Tax Relief Act. This is H.R. 5863. The fact that it has H.R. in front of it says it's already been through the House. Is that correct?
That is correct. So we were very excited to see this bill move forward. Congressman Greg Stubbe from Florida has taken the lead on this. And this was part of a larger tax package that kind of stalled. And Congressman Stubbe took the initiative and moved this on its own. And this is really important, because this bill kind of it rights a lot of wrongs when it comes to people who have suffered from natural disasters and have had to pay income tax on those disaster relief payments they've received. So this extends some of that coverage to, you know, people who have been victims of hurricanes over the last few years, but it also extends that relief to people who've suffered from wildfires. And so for those federally declared disasters, this means that those disaster payments are not going to be treated as a taxable income. So this is a very important thing. This is something NCBA has been strongly supportive. You know, we were hopeful that we would see something by the end of the year. And lo and behold, in the middle of the week, the Senate decided to approve this on a voice vote. So there was strong bipartisan support in both houses. It was finally able to clear that last hurdle in the Senate. Now this goes to President Biden's desk, where we're hoping he'll sign it. Maybe he'll sign it over the weekend, but I'm hoping he does it sooner than later, because we need to get this relief out to folks who've been affected by it. And you look obviously in the southeastern United States, you've had a lot of catastrophes with hurricanes. But when you look out west, just the years of catastrophic wildfires we've had everywhere, and you know the impact that's had, and the long term droughts we've had, and floods, and all of these federally declared disasters, people need that relief. They need to be able to rebuild and recover. And so we were happy to see this move forward, and you know, we're really thankful that Congress was able to work together and think about the benefit of all those people who have suffered from these natural disasters and provide them a little bit of relief.
As we start looking forward to 2025, is there any optimism within the livestock industry about maybe renewing some trade relationships or restarting some trade possibly agreements?
Well, you know, I think when you look at our industry, you look at the U.S. cattle sector, it's very strong right now. Even though we still have the lowest herd numbers we've had in years, there's still strong demand for our product. And, you know, we have some of the beef, some of the best beef we've ever produced. And I think we're just going to continue to get stronger. But when you need some long-term agreements, you need some long-term market access so that we can continue to fill a lot of that strong foreign demand. When you look at exports, they account for over $400 per head. We want to see that grow, not because we're not selling a ton of beef here in the U.S. market. We dominate this domestic market, but we want to get premiums on all cuts of the animal. And so we need to focus on improving our market access across Southeast Asia. There's a lot of potential in the Philippines and Vietnam. You look at some of the emerging markets in Africa, and you look at some of the outstanding issues we've had in Europe. But one thing that we've been really trying to, the message we've been trying to get across to the next administration is, let's work with some of our allies and let's secure some strong trade agreements. We think we should move forward with a robust trade agreement with the United Kingdom. They're strong allies. We think there's a lot of opportunity in their market. We feel confident about, their product and the safety of their beef. So we wouldn't have any issues with that here. But at the same time, we need to be the ones that are out there negotiating these agreements and setting these terms of trade. Over the last 4 years, unfortunately, we've taken market access. We've taken the tariff reductions off of the table. And so consumers overseas continue to pay very high prices for our products. And it's not because that's what the market is driving. It's because those tariffs have marked it up and we're not meeting our full potential. So we know that this next administration is going to take a very aggressive position on trade. I think that'll kind of be a shock to a lot of folks who've seen it be kind of quiet over the last few years. But here we go. I mean, President-elect Trump has made it very clear that he wants to go after some markets. He wants to hold people accountable. But I think the unspoken part of that, too, is they want to see American businesses prosper. And the way you do that is by opening up these markets for our exports. We talk a lot about Buy America, but we also need to talk more about Sell America. And I think there's a lot we can do, especially in the Asian markets and a lot of the other emerging markets that want high-quality U.S. beef. And we got to remove these trade barriers in order to get it to them. So we're excited about what the next year holds. We think there's going to be a lot of opportunities out there. And one thing's for sure, it won't be boring.
Kent, always great to visit with you. Kent Backus, Executive Director, Government Affairs, National Cattlemen's Beef Association, on today's Agribusiness Report.
Are you planning on fence or brushwork on your ranch this fall and winter? West Texas Attachments has the skid steer attachments you need to make the job easier. Clear the way with their rock and brush grapple and drive posts quickly and accurately with the Montana Post Driver. They also have brush cutter shredders that turn your machine into a zero-turn mower that can handle trees up to 8 inches. West Texas Attachments also offers low-cost delivery to your area. Call Brad at 806-778-2834 or visit westtexasattachments.com.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Kent Backus, National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Special guest, Kent Backus, National Cattlemen's Beef Association, online, beef.org.
Attention, High Plains landowners. The Sandhill Area Research Association proudly presents Your Legacy is Tomorrow's Water. We're joining forces with partners across Texas to restore 50 Playa Lakes, crucial for recharging the Ogallala Aquifer and supporting our unique wildlife. Be a part of this transformative initiative. Visit playasworkfortexans.com for more details. Let's secure our water legacy together.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
A stormy November over much of the country created significant reductions in U.S. drought coverage over the course of that month. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey explains.
October 29th, U.S. Drought Monitor, we saw a drought coverage in the United States a little over 54%, and that was the highest U.S. drought coverage in about 2 years, going all the way back to December of 2022. Stepping forward about 5 weeks to December 3rd, we've seen that drought coverage come down more than 10 percentage points. We currently stand at a U.S. drought coverage of 43.64%, so heading in the right direction.
Most notable improvements by region included the Pacific Northwest, Central and Southern Great Plains, Midwest, and parts of the Mid-South. Some areas of deterioration, however, have been recorded over the past month in the Deep South, parts of the Northern Plains, and Mid-Atlantic. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.